Jonah chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city, a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe, he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth and set in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast nor herd nor flock taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. How many of you have ever said these words, if I just had to do over again? Has anybody ever sent a text message they'd like to unsend? Whether it be by accident or on purpose? Maybe an email, maybe something you said, maybe, you know, once it came out of your mouth, you did the, you know, the proverbial thing, trying to put it back in. There's times in our life when we just wish we could go back and do it over. Some people say, well, you know, when it comes to God, I can't complain with anything that he's done in my life. But as far as my life, comparing to what he wants for me, there's some things I'd like to go back and have a second chance again. How many of you wish that you would have had another chance? I'm sure we all did. I mean, every one of us. If you've lived any point in life, not even talking about spiritually, just talking about things in your life, if you had another chance to do something again, you would take advantage of that opportunity. I take care of of course, a lot of you know, I take care of the video production for the ministry and the radio and the graphic design. And with all the modern technology, I'm thankful for that. I can do a lot of things easily and quickly. But the most important aspect of that software is two clicks. I go up to a menu called Edit, and the first button down is called Undo. That's my favorite thing to go to, because most of the time I make so many mistakes, and I'm thankful that that software has an undo button. But even the technology, it only goes back so far. But I'm thankful that when it comes to God, there's a chance that we can go back and redo some things. He allows an undo button in our lives, and you better be thankful for that. And sometimes that undo button can only go back so far. Then sometimes I got to go down to the corner and I got to hit a button and there's a little circle. You know what that means? A restart. Sometimes it gets so bad and everything just stops and it stops functioning, and I go back and do a restart. And I'm thankful that sometimes in our lives God allows undo buttons, but he also allows a restart. And some of you better be thankful for that, that God allowed you another chance with him. So thankful for that. And it's because of his grace, and it's because of his mercy that he's given us another chance. And there's a reason why I say another chance. And I've said this here before. I've stopped saying he's the God of second chances, because I wore out my second chance a long time ago. That's why I say he's the God of another chance. Because, and I'm not saying we treat God like a spare tire. We shouldn't do that. It's not like we go back every week and say, Lord, please forgive me for what I've done last week. That's not how we're supposed to live a Christian life. But I'm thankful that when we come to him broken, I'm thankful that when we come to him contrite, and I'm thankful when we come to him in a serious way, no matter how many times we hit the altar, thank God he gives us another chance. You better be thankful for that. You better be certain Jonah was thankful for another chance. You better be glad that Jonah chapter 3 verse 1 is in there, especially for Jonah. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time, and the task was given to Jonah. But you know what the Bible says, it's obvious from the very get-go, we understand that Jonah did not like Nineveh. He did not like the Ninevites. And so the task was given by God for Jonah to go into Nineveh and preach into that great city. We all know the story. This is all elementary to some of y'all. Some of y'all kids that learned it in Bible school this past summer can probably preach it better than me. But you understand that he got this task and this assignment from God, but he had issue with the Ninevites. And so what he wanted to do is he wanted to run as far away as he could to try to get away from God. And listen, God will allow us a certain amount of space for us to mess up, because he wants us to understand and he wants us to choose to follow him, and God will allow us to go so far before he and then allow us to mess up before we can turn our lives around. And so he looked at Nineveh and he said, I don't want to go to Nineveh, because he knew the power of the word of God, and he knew if he would preach to Nineveh they would be saved, and he did not want them to be saved. Like, we have a choice in the matter on who gets salvation or not. There's some people that I would have wrote off a long time ago. That's why you're not God, and that's why I'm not God. I'm thankful that he's given some people another chance, even though I may not have thought they deserved it. He gave them another chance to come to him. But we have no choice in the matter on who gets saved. He's the one that chooses. And I'm thankful that he chose me. Aren't you glad he chose you? In fact, he chooses whosoever can come to him. Amen. And so he reluctantly and disobediently goes against the call of God. And probably, I'm not saying this is what happened, but like so many of us, he probably tried to justify what he was doing. I'm sure in the back of his mind he said, well, Lord, if that boat's there at the dock, that means I should get on it. You know how we all will try to spiritualize disobedience? Lord, you know, Calray gives the illustration so many times about the man going around the donut shop trying to get on a diet. And he said, Lord, if it's meant for me to go here, then I'll find a parking spot right in the front row. And on the 10th time around, he finally found the one, right? We try to justify our disobedience. Maybe he said, okay, Lord, the boat's here, but if I got enough money in my change purse, that means to pay the ticket, that means I should get on this boat. We try to justify our disobedience, and I'm sure he probably did the same thing. But listen, may I submit to you this? Anytime you're disobedient with God, you will always go in the wrong direction. You'll find, and this is elementary, you all know this. He went down to Tarshish. He went down into the boat. He went down into the ship. He went down into the bottom of the boat. The rains fell down upon him. The storms came. They cast lots down upon the ground. Then they ended up throwing Jonah down into the sea. The whale swallowed him up, and he went down into the belly of the whale. Folks, I'm telling you what, if you're disobedient from God, the only direction you're going is down. Amen. And he went down, and they cast him down over the sea, and he finally hit rock bottom. And when he hit rock bottom, he finally called upon the Lord. Now I'm going to say something here, and I feel that I need to preface this by saying, I hope you'll hear me out. I'm about ready to say. So many times we try to rescue Jonah too early instead of letting God do what he wants to do in his life. Do you understand that there are some things that the best thing for people is to get what they want? Because until they hit rock bottom, they'll never call on God. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't do everything in our power to try to get them from going over and try to stop them. We should try to stop them. We should pray for them. We should do everything in our power to make sure they don't fall and slip and fail. But sometimes if they choose to be disobedient, the best thing for them is to let God do what he wants to do. How many of you can testify? I've heard you say it, and many we've heard testimonies over the years. If it wasn't for this happening, I would have never turned to God. If I never got that diagnosis, I would have never asked him into my heart. If I wouldn't have, things could have been different and things should have been different. You should have turned to God a long time ago, but it wasn't until you were in the belly of the well of your own sin that you finally looked up and called on the name of the Lord. Elsie's here tonight, and thank God that your husband hit rock bottom in a hospital bed. If he hadn't hit rock bottom, he may not have been in heaven this evening. She prayed and prayed. How many times did she ask God to pray, save him? And he wouldn't turn to God. And finally, he got down to where all he had to do was look up. And I'm glad tonight that her husband's in heaven tonight, because God finally gave him another chance. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And God gave Jonah another chance. And you better be thankful he gave you another chance. We don't deserve it. We didn't expect it. But he gave us another chance. I'm here tonight because of another chance. You are here tonight because of another chance. No matter how you were raised, I was raised in a great Christian home. I knew right from wrong, saved at an early age. But even then, I still needed another chance. And Tim, I'm thankful that he came and spoke to me a second time. I came and then he spoke to me another time and another time. The calling of God is without repentance. And I'm thankful God never gave up on me. And you better be thankful he never gave up on you. He could have stopped talking to you, but he gave you another chance. And I'm thankful I'm here tonight because he said you can have another chance. Hallelujah. That's why I'm preaching tonight. That's why I'm your assistant pastor, because God gave me another chance. And when I wake up every day, I thank him for that chance. I thank him for that opportunity. He could have shut the door on it, but he left it open so I can walk through, oh, and live in his joy. Aren't you glad tonight? I'm thankful. Somebody help me preach tonight. I'm thankful for another chance. Hallelujah. Amen. Three things tonight. And I'll hurry. Number one, this story tells us of God's patience. God was patient when it came to the disobedience of Jonah. But he was also patient when it came to the sins of Nineveh. And sometimes we limit God's righteousness to people. Sometimes we look at them, and I mentioned this just a little bit earlier. Sometimes we say, well, they don't deserve it. They've been there every single service. They've prayed and prayed and prayed. And it seems like they can never get through. Folks, God was patient with you. And I don't care how many times people have to come to an altar of prayer. I'd rather for them come to an altar of prayer and ask the God of heaven to be patient with them. And I'd rather ride that altar all the way to heaven than I would let know that they spend an eternity in hell. Folks, I tell you, we're all a work in progress. None of us have arrived yet. We won't be arriving until we make it to heaven. All of us are at one point in time could fall and falter. But aren't you thankful tonight for another chance that God gives us? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God was patient with Jonah. And God will decide how long he will reach people. Nineveh, I'm sure Jonah said, Nineveh doesn't need another chance. But it wasn't up to Jonah, was it? It was up to God. And when the call came to Jonah and he disobeyed God, and he began to call upon the name of the Lord in the belly of that whale, God could have replaced Jonah, but he repaired him. Ron's testimony rather went right along with this sermon tonight about your daddy. He could have easily tore that house down and started building another one. But instead he saw something within that house that nobody else saw. He saw a good foundation. He saw something he can build on. He saw something he can repair. And aren't you glad your dad could have replaced that house, but he decided to repair it. And when God looked at us down the way, and when we have fallen, and when we have failed him, thank God he could have got rid of us. He could have got rid of Jonah. He could have replaced him, but instead he repaired him. And aren't you glad for the fixing hand of God that didn't shove us away? He said, no, I see something there. I'll fix it and make it better. Hallelujah. Glory to God. A man needed his car repaired one time, so he went to the mechanic and got an estimate on the repairs. The mechanic came to him before he even started and said, I can tell right now the damage to your car is going to cost more than the value of your car. It's probably time you go and just trade it in or do whatever you want to do. It's time for you to replace this car and get another vehicle. And the gentleman said, no, I'd rather for you to repair it. And he said, well, it doesn't make good sense. And I'll do what you say, but it's going to cost a lot more to repair it than it's worth. He said, what you don't understand, sir, this is my car. I own this car. I paid for it. And I've got too many miles invested in it to get rid of it that quickly. And folks, when God looks at us, He don't see a piece of broken down metal. No, he sees something that he has paid for. He sees something that he owns, and he sees something he's invested way too much time in to get rid of. Oh, he could have as easily as he wanted to. In a snap of a finger, he could have got rid of us. But I'm thankful he didn't replace us. He repaired us with his grace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just like the potter in Jeremiah chapter 18. He could have threw away the clay. The Bible says in Jeremiah 18 that the vessel was marred in the hand of the potter. You've heard us say it many times. It wasn't the potter's fault. It was the clay's fault. The impurity was in the clay. But instead of throwing it away, the Bible says he made it again another vessel. And you better be thankful tonight that the grace of God looked down at your life and you were beyond repair. But he said, no, I'm not going to throw it away. I'll just put him back on the wheel. I'll put her back on the wheel and I'll spin it. And I'll make something out of it. Aren't you glad he gave you another chance? Glory to God. When I was in high school and took art classes from Mrs. Day, we would do a lot of ceramics through the year. And a lot of times it took a lot to get it to where we could even put it in the kiln to be fired. And Mrs. Day always, for those of you that had Mrs. Day in school, you can testify to this. She was always very adamant about making sure there was no air bubbles in that clay before you put it in the fire, before you make your vessel, before you make your coffee mug or whatever it was. Make sure there's no air in the clay, because if there was any air in the clay and you put that vessel into the fire, it would bust. Not only would yours bust, but if there were other vessels in that kiln, they would probably bust as well from the damage because of the impurity in the clay. And so many times that would happen. In fact, it happened to a thing that I made one time and it busted. And I thought it was beyond repair. I thought there's no way that this clay would ever be used again. And I thought, well, Mrs. Day, you might as well throw that clay in the trash. It's no good. She says, oh no, we don't throw clay away. And I said, what are you talking about? And over there in the corner of her art class was a 5-gallon bucket that was full of water. And she would take that clay that had been dried in that kiln. You would have thought it would just been good for a trash heap, but she would break it up into tiny pieces. And she would throw that dry, fired clay into that water and give it a few days, give it a few weeks, give it a month down the road. And after the water has got into that clay that was once useless, that clay that was once good for nothing but trash, was finally able to be used again. Oh, it may take some time, it may take some patience, but I'm glad he didn't throw me away. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The patience of God. Next, I want you to notice the proclamation. The proclamation comes in verse 4 when God said, the Bible says this, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried, and here's the proclamation, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, normally we would read that, And we would say, now that's a statement of condemnation and judgment. But I would have to disagree. That is not a statement of condemnation. That is a statement of compassion. You say, why would you say that? If I came into this church tonight and there happened to be a fire in a Sunday school room or a fire in the restroom or a fire back here in the hallway and I came into this church and I yelled fire, that's not a statement of condemnation. That's a statement of compassion. Because I'm warning you, get out of here or you will die in a fire. Listen, folks, God gave Nineveh a space of grace. He could have said, judgment is impending. Judgment is doomed. I'm just going to give you a second. I'm not even going to give you a second. You're doomed because you've disobeyed God and you've sinned against God. And he did it before in the Bible. But this time, he showed compassion and love. And he said, Jonah, tell them in 40 days, I'm keeping my word. I will pronounce judgment, but I'm going to give him some time. I'm going to give him a space of grace. Aren't you glad he didn't throw us away? Aren't you glad he didn't snuff us out? No, but he's given us a space of grace that we can turn to him. Hallelujah. He gave us time. He gave us time. And he proclaims to us that we can have joy if we just simply do what he says. There was a son that had a toy at Christmas. And like so many of us, when we give our kids toys whenever they're small, we can pretty much set a stopwatch to it. In a matter of a couple minutes, that thing will be broke. And that'll be destroyed. Some of us kids that are 45 years old still do those things, don't we? But the dad was trying to warn the kid that he had a remote control car and the batteries had died because he used it so much. So he would put it up on the kitchen table. He would go back and forth with it and he would shove it and he would try to get it on the edge without it falling over. And the dad said, son, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. That car's going to fall off the table. It's going to break and you won't be able to use it again. So the son, not listening to his dad, still wanting to have some fun, went against his dad's wishes and started pushing that car again. And that car fell off the table. And guess what happened? Broke into hundreds of pieces. The son started crying and picked up all the pieces and brought it to his daddy. Said, Daddy, can you fix this for me? Will you fix it? He said, son, I can't fix it. Yes, you can, Daddy. You can fix anything. He said, no, son, I can't fix it. I warned you. I warned you to stop doing that. You thought I was trying to keep you from having joy. But what I was trying to do is extend your joy. And sometimes we think the thou shalt nots of God is to keep us from having joy. But what we don't understand, sometimes the proclamation and the word of God that never changes, the thou shalt nots in the Bible are just as important as thou shall. Because he may be keeping us from something much worse down the road. And God's word will never change. God warns us, do what he says to do, stay in his will, and you can have joy. It breaks my heart, and I know sometimes it may seem like your pastors are just mean-spirited and mean-hearted the way we come down on certain things. It's not that at all. You don't understand the heart of a pastor. You don't understand the heart of a shepherd. The reason why we come down hard on things, the reason why we come down hard against sin is because we're trying to warn you the wages of sin is death. But we're also trying to tell you, child of God, just do the right thing. When you don't do the right thing, you're depriving yourself of the joy of the Lord. There's a reason why you're miserable. There's a reason why you feel guilty when you miss church. There's a reason. There's a reason in your mind and in your heart why you do the things you do against God. It's because you're not right with God and you need to get right with God. In order to have joy, just do right. Young people, do right. Watch what you do. Watch what you say. Watch who you hang out with. Just do right. We're not telling you these things to, any good parent will warn their kid when danger's coming up. And we try to best our shelter our kids, and we're trying to raise them the best way. And we do the same thing as shepherds of a church. Just do the right thing. If there's any doubt at all in your heart, Pastor said it today, and I'll reiterate it. If you come and are approached with a certain thing or a certain direction you should go, and there's any doubt, that's God, the Holy Spirit, speaking to you, saying, don't. I've always lived by the saying, when in doubt, don't. Because most of the time, if you end up doing, you end up much worse than when you were if you just not done it. The thou shalt nots are just as important as the thou shalt. God's word will never change. His love toward us will never change. His mercy toward us will never change. And his grace to us will never change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The proclamation, I got to hurry. The patience. And finally, notice the pardon. The pardon. When the word of the Lord came to the people of Nineveh, beginning in verse 5, you saw what they did. And I always used to think that the book of Jonah was about Jonah. That the main focus should be about Jonah. And really it's not. The focus of the book of Jonah is not on Jonah at all. It's about the Ninevites. Because God gave Nineveh another chance. You say, why would you say that, Brian? Because Jonah didn't like him before, and he didn't like him after. Read it. After God forgave him, he was still mad. He was mad that God gave them another chance. And folks, you better be thankful that just like Nineveh, God sent the message to you and gave you a warning that if you don't turn to him, this could be your last chance. But he gave you another chance to come and turn to him and set you free and pardon you. And you better be thankful for that. And repentance turned to revival. It started in verse 5 and goes on down to verse 10. After they started doing some things, then the Bible says God saw their works and repented of the evil. And repentance turned to revival. Our pastor said it this morning, great things are about ready to happen at Rubyville. And I'll tell you how revival will happen at Rubyville is when we have true repentance. And here's how you get it. I want you to notice what the king did in verse 6. Number one, he changed his position. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne. He got off the throne of his pride and humbled himself before God. And if you're going to see true revival, you're going to have to repent and get off the throne of your pride and come down and humble yourself before God. Not only did he change his position, but he changed his practices. He took off his robe, his royal robe, and put on sackcloth. He said, I mean business, God. I'm humbling myself. I'm taking off my duties. I'm taking off my authority, and I'm submitting my authority to you. And folks, when are we going to realize God's in control? And the sooner we take off our robe of righteousness and put on the sackcloth of humility, then my friend, revival can come. Changed his practices, changed his position, but notice he also changed their priorities. What'd he do? He proclaimed a fast in verses 7. In verse 7 and 8, he proclaimed a fast not only from the least to the greatest, but the cattle. Everyone, no food or water, proclaimed a fast. He changed his priorities. Folks, fasting is not about giving up food. Fasting is not about giving up certain music or giving up certain things or giving up this or giving up a television program. That's not what fasting is. Fasting is about changing your priorities. And if you really want to see miracles happen in your life, these things cometh not but by prayer and A plus, as Mike McCoy says. Prayer and fasting. Fasting. He changed his priorities.
But I noticed something that I thought was just a bit different. Not only changed their position and practices and priorities, but I want you to notice something peculiar. And I've got a point to this, but I never saw this before. Verse 8, but let man and beast, I'll say that again, let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Not only did everybody from the least to the greatest put on sackcloth, but they put a sackcloth on their dog. They put it on their donkeys. They put it on their cows. Don't you think that's a little peculiar? You say, Brian, why would you say that? Because some of you in the near future or a little bit down the road, God's going to ask you to do something that might be very peculiar. It may not make sense to nobody else, but you feel God impressing it upon your heart. And if he's impressing it upon your heart, I don't care how peculiar it is, you do it. If you want to see revival come, just be obedient to God. Be obedient to God. I don't care how weird you think it is. I don't care how peculiar you think it is. If God is in it, do it. Now listen, there are some things you don't have to pray about though. You say, what's that? Well, you don't have to pray about tithing. That was free. That's not in my notes. No, you just do that. You don't have to pray about that. Should I come to church or not? Well, you really don't have to pray about that. I know you have to be safe and you have to do things what you need to do, but there's just some things in the Word of God that you don't have to pray about. You just do it. You just do it. Peculiar. God gave Nineveh another chance. Verse 10, God saw their works. They turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. God's word stayed true. God said, I will not pronounce judgment on you. I've given you a space of time. You've repented. You've done what I said, and I will honor my word. And God's word still stands today. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You better be thankful God has given you another chance. And friend, he's given you another chance tonight. But you may not realize this. This other chance you may have may be your last chance. I'll share this with you, and Stephen Ron's going to come and get prepared to sing an invitation song. But years ago, when my papaw was still living, we had several inches of rain for days. And right beside Beach Fork Church, Brush Creek runs down by the church, and that's where normally we baptize. If someone wants to get where they baptized, if anybody wants to get baptized outside, they would make a little hole, baptizing hole there. But this time, when the waters got high and Brush Creek was almost overflowing, in fact, it did just a little bit after this incident. But we had a tremendous service, and I remember it very vividly. And for those of you that remember Beach Fork years ago, it didn't take much for them to shout. As the old saying goes, they shout the drop of the hat and drop the hat to shout. And Papaw was one of them people. Papaw very often would shout and praise God, but this time he did something even a little bit different for Papaw. He went outside the church. Now, you've probably seen that before. I've seen other people at Beach Fork do it, but I hadn't seen Papaw do it very often. But he opened the door, let out a big war whoop, and he took off around the church. And he came back in and sat down, and we found out later that while he was running around the church, there was a party going on the other side of Brush Creek. And as he was making his way around, he yelled to the people that was at that party, "So you need to get right with God. God's coming back. You need to make sure you're saved. Why don't you come and get saved?" When he came back inside, Papaw was crying because his heart was broke. for those people. Well, the waters got out of Brush Creek, flooded. And a young man that was at that party ended up drowning in Brush Creek. I said, Brian, why would you say that? God gave that young man a space of grace. He gave him another chance, but it was his last. God's mercy is long-suffering. His grace is eternal. But there's going to come a day when it's over. We won't need grace anymore. Mercy won't be extended again. God's given you a space of time right now. And he's given you another chance. So why not take advantage of it?